When Alexander Berkman tried to kill Henry Clay Frick during the 1892 Homestead lockout, the press called him a madman who damaged the cause of the striking steelworkers. But the anarchist and the union wanted the same thing.
Berkman rushed in, drew a .38 caliber revolver, fired two quick shots right at Frick.
Heinz History Center President Andy Masick says, after unsuccessfully trying to shoot Frick, Berkman reached for the dagger in his pocket and struck at Frick's legs. That dagger remains on display at the museum.
These sort of audacious actions against representatives of the political and economic power structure were intended to raise the revolutionary consciousness of workers and to avenge wrongs perpetrated against the working people.
Kenyon Zimmer, author of Immigrants Against the State, Yiddish and Italian Anarchism in America, says Berkman and other radically inclined immigrants were, in part, a product of the United States' rapid transformation from an agrarian to an industrial economy.
Most became anarchists in the United States when they came face to face with American industrial capitalism, with living in largely urban slums and working 12 to 16-hour workdays.
That new reality produced new schools of thought, socialism, anarchism, and unions.
That was the bottom line, was total managerial control.
Charles McAllister, president of the Battle of Homestead Foundation, is in the pump house, which is the last remaining building of the Homestead Steelworks. In 1892, Homestead was the most technologically advanced mill in the world, contributing to Carnegie Steel Company's then-unheard-of profits of $4.5 million a year. But Frick, CEO, believed even more profit could be squeezed from the mill if they stamped out the union. Andrew Carnegie gave him free rein.
Frick was determined to bust any measure of union or worker voice in the production process.
The Amalgamated Association of Iron and Steel Workers wanted to keep wages tied to production. The more metal they put on the floor, the more they earned.
The workers felt that they had an ownership stake in it to a certain degree. They had built it, they had worked in it, they had made enormous profits for the company.
That an individual should share in the profits he helped create was an idea held by both the Homestead workers and Alexander Berkman. But their approaches radically diverged.
The workers at Homestead really believed in nonviolent concerted activity, and if they all acted together and stayed together, they could force negotiation.
Though Berkman was from a middle-class merchant family, as an anarchist, he believed capitalism to be inherently corrupt. Negotiating within the system wasn't enough. By killing Frick, he believed the workers would win a decisive victory.
Very rarely do laws change unless people break the previous laws, right? And whether it's breaking it through violence or civil disobedience, law breaking is sort of an integral part of American democracy.
Just 17 days before Berkman burst into Frick's office brandishing a revolver, the residents of Homestead had battled 300 Pinkerton agents, hired by Frick to take back the mill and bring in scab workers. 9 workers and 3 agents were killed. To the workers, they were protecting what was theirs by right, their jobs and their homes. McAllister says Berkman's violence was disavowed by the strikers.
I think they had more faith in an American dream of equality and of collective rights.
Berkman thought he was joining the union's fight for the well-being of individuals, but neither succeeded. By mid-November, Berkman had begun serving 14 years in prison. Carnegie wrote to a friend, "Oh, that Homestead blunder, but it's fading, as all events do." He was wrong. Anarchism faded, but the fight for organized labor was just beginning. For 90.5, WESA celebrates Inventing Pittsburgh. I'm Margaret J. Krause.
UPMC is proud to support 90.5 WESA celebrates Inventing Pittsburgh. UPMC, life-changing medicine.